The Life of St. Augustine by St. Pisidius. Part 4. Chapter 14. Emeritus, a Donatist Bishop, overcome. Yet, after the conference which was held with the Donatists, there were not lacking those who declared that these bishops had not been permitted to speak fully and freely for their sect before the magistrate who heard the case, since the judge, who was of Catholic communion, favored his own church. But it was only after they had failed and were defeated that they offered this excuse, since these heretics knew before the discussion was held that he was of the Catholic communion, and when they were summoned by him to the public debate for the purpose of discussion, they agreed to do it. Surely, if they had held him under suspicion, they could have refused to attend. Nevertheless, the help of Almighty God revealed itself, for Augustine of venerable memory stopped a while later in the city of Caesarea in Mauritania, to which letters from the Apostolic See constrained him to go with others of his fellow bishops, evidently for the purpose of settling further difficulties of the Church. Thus it happened on this occasion that he met Emeritus, the Donatist bishop of that place, whom the Donatists regarded as the chief defender of their sect at the conference. And Augustine held a discussion with him publicly in the church, while the people of the different communions were present. He challenged them by the ecclesiastical records, in order that whatever perchance, as they said, Emeritus might have been able to offer in the conference, and had not been permitted to offer, he might now not hesitate to say with security, and without the interference or violence of any magistrate, and should not refuse to defend his own communion with all confidence in his own city and in the presence of all his fellow townsmen. Notwithstanding this encouragement, and the urgent entreaty of his parents and townsmen, Emeritus was not willing to do so, although they promised him that they would return to his communion, even at the risk of their property and temporal welfare, if only he would overthrow the Catholic argument. But he was neither willing nor able to add anything more to these records, except only to say, "Those records of what was done by the bishops at Carthage contain the proof of whether we were victors or vanquished." At another time, when urged by a reporter to answer, he spoke, and then, when he was silent, his position became evident to all through his embarrassment, while the growing strength of the Church of God was revealed. Whoever, therefore, wishes to learn more about the diligence and labor of Augustine of most blessed memory for the welfare of the Church of God, let him run through these records. He will find what sort of arguments he produced to provoke and persuade that learned, eloquent, and illustrious man to state whatever he wished in defense of his sect, and he will learn that Emeritus was defeated. Chapter 15. A merchant, Firmus by name, converted by a digression in Augustine's sermon. I know also, and not I only, but also my brethren and fellow servants who were at that time living together with the holy man in the church at Hippo, that when we were seated at the table, he said, "Did you take notice of my sermon in the church today, that both the beginning and end worked out contrary to my usual custom? For I did not explain to its conclusion the subject which I had propounded, but left it in suspense." To which we replied, "Yes, we know it, and remember that we wondered at it at the time." Then he said, "I suppose that perhaps the Lord wished some wanderer among the people to be taught and healed by our forgetfulness and error. for in his hands are we, and all our utterances. For while I was investigating the margins of the question proposed, by a digression of speech, I passed over to something else, and so, without finishing or explaining the question, I ended my discourse by attacking the error of the Manichaeans, about which I had intended to say nothing in my discussion, rather than by speaking about those things which I had intended to explain. And after this, unless I am mistaken, lo, on the next day or the day after, there came a certain merchant, Firmus by name, to the holy Augustine, who was seated in the monastery. And in our presence he fell down on his knees and prostrated himself at Augustine's feet, shedding tears and asking that the priest and his holy companions intercede with the Lord for his sins. For he confessed that he had followed the sect of the Manichaeans, had lived in it for many years, and so had paid out much money in vain to the Manichaeans, or rather to those whom they call the elect. But recently, by the mercy of God, he had been in the church, and was converted and made a Catholic by Augustine's sermons. And when the venerable Augustine, and we who were with him at the time, inquired diligently of the man by what thing in the sermon he had been especially satisfied, he told us, and we all recalled the course of the sermon. Wondering and marveling at the profound plan of God for the salvation of souls, we glorified and blessed his holy name. For when he wishes, and by whom he wishes, and in whatever way he wishes, by those who know and those who do not know, he works the salvation of souls. And from that time on, this man held fast to the manner of life of the servants of God, gave up his business as merchant, and progressing among the members of the church, by the will of God, he was called and constrained in another region to enter the office of priest, wherein he maintained and persevered in his sanctity of life. And perhaps he is still in active life across the sea. Chapter 16. The Accursed and Shameful Practices of the Manichaeans Laid Bare. At Carthage also, when a certain procurator of the royal house, Ursus by name, and a man of the Catholic faith, had come into an assembly of certain Manichaeans, whom they call elect, both men and women, and when they had been led away by him to the church, and were examined by the bishops, they were given a hearing with formal record. Among these bishops was also Augustine of holy memory, who knew the accursed sect better than the others did, and, by disclosing their damnable blasphemies from places in the books which the Manichaeans accept, he even brought them to a confession of the same. The base and unworthy things they practiced to their own great harm are revealed in the ecclesiastical records through the disclosures of those women. Elect, indeed! And so, by the watchfulness of the shepherds, an increase was made in the Lord's flock, and strong defense was maintained against the thieves and robbers. With a certain Felix, also a member of those whom the Manichaeans call elect, Augustine argued in public in the church at Hippo, while the people were present and the reporters took down the record. After the second or third meeting, the emptiness and error of the sect were exposed, and that Manichaean was converted to our faith and church, as these writings will show if they are consulted. Chapter 17. Pacentius, an Arian count, is refuted in public debate. Moreover, there was also a certain Pacentius, a count of the royal house and an Arian, who was a most energetic collector of taxes. by reason of the authority of his position. He attacked the Catholic faith violently and persistently, and by his raillery and power tormented and annoyed many of the more simple priests of God who were living by faith. Challenged by him, Augustine met him at Carthage in the presence of honored and notable men. The heretic utterly refused to have tablets and a pen at hand, as our teacher, both before and in the meeting, urgently insisted should be done. And since he refused this, saying that he was unwilling, through fear of the public laws, to be exposed to danger by such records, and appealed to the bystanders, the Bishop Augustine took up the discussion, because it seemed best to his fellow bishops who were present that they should debate in private and without written records. He prophesied, however, as afterward happened, that since there was no record in writing, after the conclusion of the conference, anyone who wished could freely say that he had said what perchance he had not said, or had not said what he had said. Augustine then joined in debate with him, and after stating what he believed, and hearing from Pacentius what he held, by true reasoning and by producing the authority of the Scriptures, he explained and proved the foundations of our faith. And the statements of Pacentius, being supported neither by truth nor by the authority of the Holy Scriptures, were explained and refuted. And as the parties separated from each other, he became more and more angry and enraged, and threw out many lies in defense of his false faith, declaring that Augustine, though praised by the voice of many, had really been defeated by him. Since this could not be kept from public notice, Augustine was compelled to write to Pacentius himself, omitting, because of the latter's fear, the names of those who had attended the conference. In these letters he faithfully set forth everything which had been said and done by both parties, and to prove these things, if they should be denied, he had ready a great multitude of witnesses, illustrious and honorable men, who had been present on that occasion. In answer to two letters directed to him, Pacentius returned but one meager reply, in which he managed to offer insults rather than to declare the opinion of his sect. This is acknowledged by those who are able and willing to read. With a bishop of these Arians, a certain Maximinus, who came to Africa with the Goths, he held a conference at Hippo, since many illustrious men desired and requested it, and were also present. And what each party asserted is recorded. If the studious will just take the trouble to read the records carefully, they will surely discover what this crafty and unreasonable heresy professes, in order to seduce and deceive, and what the Catholic Church maintains and teaches regarding the Divine Trinity. But when the heretic returned from Hippo to Carthage, and because of his great loquacity in the conference, asserted that he had returned victorious from the debate, and lied, as of course he could not be easily examined and judged by those who were ignorant of the divine law, the venerable Augustine, at a later time, with his own pen, made a recapitulation of the separate charges and answers of the entire conference. And although Maximinus was unable to offer any reply to the charges, nevertheless supplements were added, and the things which could not be introduced and written in the short time of the conference were made clear. For the craftiness of the man led him to occupy the entire part of the day which remained with his last, and by far his longest, speech. End of part 4.